Funny thing, time, isn't it? Hard to explain. It boggles my mind, baffles me. Time, because we can spend time. We can declare something to be a waste of time. We can pass time. My father, when I was a little boy, especially if he was working afternoons, he'd get up a bit later. He'd sit outside having a fag and a cup of coffee on the wall. And I'd sometimes go out and say, "What are you doing, Dad?" "Killing time." You can kill time. We can say we've made good time. We can say we've made up time. Made up time. It's baffling. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created time. There was a time when time began. Now, that doesn't make sense to me either. There was a moment when time began for you. Now, that makes much more sense. I can understand that. Before that instance, you did not exist. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die, which is what the passage says. There's a time to be born, and you were born. You might not remember it, but you were. There's a time to die, and you will die. There was a man I knew in the 70s. We'd played rugby together. He was a superb player. And we taught in neighboring comprehensive schools, so we would take our rugby teams to play against each other. I'd see him. We played endless games of squash together, and he never lost. And then I moved to another school, we'd both given up kind of top flight sports, so I didn't really see him. And then one day somebody walked into the physics lab in the early 80s and said, "He's dead." I remember thinking, being stunned, thinking, "Hang on, he's a fit guy, not a big drinker, not a smoker. How is he dead?" Then my mate from college, who I saw at his father's funeral and shared the gospel with him the following day. Not long after that, a couple of years after that, I had a phone call from his wife. "Oh, Chris had a heart attack yesterday. He's dead." I was thinking, dead? It just shocked him. Because last time I saw both those men, I never thought it'd be the last time I'd see them. There's a time to die, but I don't know when that time is. It could be the last time you see me. It could be the last time I see you. Who knows? Our times are in his hands. That's the thing. I remember a Christian man saying, and talking about the course that Sarah's starting today, saying that even though he'd run that course many times, he never shared the gospel with his gran. And he resolved one day he was going to drive, it's a long way, "I'm going to drive to see my gran. I've never told her about Jesus." And by the time he got there, she'd passed away. And he didn't even know she was ill. He never had a chance to see her alive again, never had a chance to tell her about Jesus Christ. See, these are important things, aren't they? Tomorrow for him never came. I'll tell her tomorrow, but tomorrow never came. You know, do you realize how blessed you are? You've all heard about Jesus. There are loads of people who haven't. You've heard. You've heard he's a savior. You've heard he died on the cross. Our sins were laid on him so that we can be set free. You know, when I was a kid, we had neighbors next door. I played with the boy and the girl, with me and my sister. And then one day, they had a flaming row. He was on afternoon shift. He slammed the door and called us something not very nice. She shouted, "Don't you dare come back till you say sorry." And he went to wait at the bus stop. And a few hours later, he fell 60 foot in work, dead. They never had a chance to say sorry. Never had a chance to kiss and make up. Had they known what was going to happen, I bet he wouldn't have slammed the door and stormed off, and she wouldn't have shouted something like, "Don't come back." Now, I remember this passage being read when I was a boy, about 11, 12, whatever, at John F. Kennedy's funeral. They read this passage out. I didn't know it was in the Bible. But it rang a bell because there was a pop song in the charts by the Birds, and they quoted this scene, except they sang also a refrain, "Turn, turn, turn. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die, and there's a time to turn. And the time to turn is now, to turn to God." I've been here 16 years. Quite a few people who have sat where you are sitting now and no more. I've preached at their funerals, most of them. The Lord blew and they've gone. This is not a game. We've said that. How many times have we said that? We don't play games here. The important thing is that that if I could be sure that you were ready, though, to die, because we don't know when that's going to be. There's a time for you to die. You know that's true. You know, the celebrities, David Bowie and Alan Rickman and Terry Wogan and so on, people came on and said they were shocked that they're dead. But in one sense, we're not shocked that they've died. We knew they were going to die. We're shocked at the timing, because we didn't know that Terry Wogan was ill, say, or we didn't know David Bowie was, or whatever. But we're not shocked they died. You won't be shocked when I die, will you? You won't be shocked when you die. You might be terrified, but you won't be shocked because you're expecting it. There was a man on the hill, I could point to his house now, who was slating Jesus Christ to me about 6 o'clock one evening, and I spoke sharply to him and I explained the gospel. And I said, I'm going now because I'm not putting up with this. Jesus is the only Savior and you need to be trusting him. Within 8 hours, he was dead. Now, I didn't know that when I walked out of the door, that when I warned him it was the last time I'd see him. And I can't get the scene out of my head, you see, because it's so serious. It's urgent. Bruce Forsyth used to sing, you know, in a Generation Game, life is the name of the game, but life's not a game. In the 80s, I was telling somebody this week, in the 80s, a 15-year-old girl, when I was teaching, I marked a register on a Wednesday afternoon. Thursday morning, the school bus skidded, hit her, dead. I never thought on that Wednesday afternoon I'd never see Debbie Lewis again. I remember standing at the gravesite, I was absolutely stunned, shocked. I wasn't a Christian. I was just absolutely numb. This little girl, man. But what I really hate about myself now is even that horrific story, it didn't shake me to think what's going to happen when I'm in the coffin. I didn't think about it. I just put it out of my head. Eventually, the numbness turned to anger. But since I was an atheist, there was nobody to be angry with, because I didn't believe there was any God. I was just angry that it should happen. You know, I remember in 73, I started teaching. The headmaster had been off sick the previous term. Before I got there, he'd had a heart attack. The county had offered him early retirement and this huge wad of money. No. He said, I'm going to go on till I've done 40 years. I want a full pension. I left that school after 8 years. He retired the same time. He was dead within a few months. Was he ready? I don't know. Was Alan Rickman ready? I don't know. Was Wogan ready? I don't know. Are you ready? I read a story in Burundi that there'd been rival factions, you know, civil war, and there was a bus going along. It was ambushed by rebels. Everybody off, they said, at gunpoint. And as they got off the bus, there was a Christian man, and there was a middle-aged woman in front of him. As they got off the bus, he pushed her hard, and she fell into this ditch. And he dived on top of her into the ditch. And he said to her, they're going to kill us. Trust in Christ. And she did. And in the mayhem, they killed everybody. They didn't notice the two in the ditch. Oh, she thanked God for that man. Not only did he cover her, but he told her about Jesus Christ. So not only was she spared, she was saved. You may never be dragged at gunpoint, but you're going to die. You know you are. I've been exercised about these things more and more. I heard a well-known preacher say the other day, just chill out and relax. No, this is urgent though. I know what he means, but this is urgent. I heard another person say, go through Christianity, explore, now take your time, don't make a decision about Christ till you've heard all the evidence. I understand that as well, but it is urgent though, because we don't know we're going to get to the end of the service or the end of the course, do we? A man I knew became a Christian, who was a tremendous witness. His father had murdered his mother and did stretch in prison for it. And when his father came out, by that time this guy was converted, he went to see him and he pleaded with his father, even though he'd done something despicable, to accept Jesus Christ, to be forgiven. And he pleaded and pleaded and pleaded, and his father said, okay, I will. Whether he did or not, I don't know. He left and went home. Within a few hours, his father was killed instantly in a car crash. What tremendous opportunity he was given. Now, I don't know, was he ready? I don't know. Heaven, all heaven declares, yeah, but heaven and hell are on the line here, aren't they? The Alpha Course. Yes, good. It asks, what's the purpose of life? Yeah, good, good. Good place to start. Valid question. But I prefer the course that Christianity Explored that Sarah wants to do, because ultimately, even if you think you know what the purpose of life is, what's going to happen? How are you going to answer Almighty God 1 millisecond after you die and you stand before him naked and exposed and he asks you, what did you do with my son, Jesus? I sent Jesus Christ for people like you. What did you do with him? See, these are big questions. They're simple questions, but they're big questions. The Bible is clear. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He saves from the coming wrath. Christianity is a rescue religion. That's what it is. I hate death. I do. I hate seeing people dying. I hate, especially in hospitals, I think, when I see them with sunken cheeks, and they are terrified. And there's nothing that you can do to take away that fear unless they trust in Jesus. You can't do anything for them. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's it. Do you see it, though? I was just thinking last night. I couldn't sleep last night. I was just thinking. I remember we went, did a beach mission in West Wales. We arrived at this place. The ladies were going to sleep in this old hut, and the men were going to sleep in this almost derelict shed, really. But the women were going to sleep in this old hut. And we hadn't been there long, and one of the ladies came and said, the leader, the toilet's not working properly. Great, we haven't been here long. So the leader went and, something wrong, he said. So he managed to locate the sewer, and he and I, it was a boiling hot August, always remember the heat, managed to locate this sewer, which was massive, about the size of the baptismal pool. And he and I managed to prise off this huge metal thing, and the whole sewer was just blocked. No wonder they couldn't flush the toilet. The sewer had obviously been blocked for months. The smell was terrible. All we had, me and Dave Norbury, were two bamboo poles. Sounds borderline ridiculous. The stench was awful, but we had to do something. And we just poked about there for ages until eventually we managed to clear it sufficiently. But as we were doing it, it just came to me, this smell, this stench, this filth that is repulsing me is not as bad as my sin. Jesus took all my sin. I was thinking, imagine if I had to drink that. And that is disgusting. But what was it like for Jesus to take my sin? Do you understand? God made him who had no sin to become sin. Do you understand it? I read of a fellow, Salvador Sanchez. He was a world featherweight boxing champion. He said, I'm only 23. I'm undefeated. I have all the time in the world. Following day, he crashed his Porsche, dead at 23. He didn't have all the time in the world. You haven't got all the time in the world. We've no idea what's around the corner. You must trust in Jesus Christ. You must. See, I used to say sometimes, I know I was wrong to do it when I was employed as a teacher. When I became a Christian, I would sometimes say to the kids, put your pens down, and I would preach to them. I know it's wrong. I know I wasn't paid there to preach. I was robbing the education authority of time. I understand that. But sometimes I just couldn't help myself, and I'd preach and say, and I'm telling you what Jesus did on the cross, and I'm telling you, if you have a car crash today or tomorrow, remember what I've said now. If you have a last moment when you're conscious, remember that Jesus can save you. The trouble is, of course, we don't all have last moments, do we? When we are consciously aware that we are dying now. Psalm 130 I read this week. Out of the depths I cried. Have you cried? Have you said, Lord, save me. Come into my life. Forgive me my sins. I know of three men who dropped dead in church, in the service. One of them was preaching. The other two, in the service. You didn't expect to drop dead when you came in this morning, did you? But I don't know what's going to happen, and neither do you. I'll be back here, God willing, tonight. But it's God willing I'll be back here tonight. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to turn, and the time to turn is now. Amen. Let's sing this great old hymn. Reminds us.